Today we'll look at Mark chapter 1, verse 14 to 20. I've entitled this, Follow Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you open your words to us and open us to your word that we may respond accordingly. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There are three things that we'll look at briefly in this passage. Firstly, time is fulfilled. We'll look at what that means. And then follow Jesus. And then thirdly, prompt obedience. Firstly, time is fulfilled. This is according to what Jesus said. We'll look at it. Two things here. Time is fulfilled, and repent and believe. In verse 14, now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled. Now we'll look at this word, the time is fulfilled. There are two key words here. The first one is a time, and second one is fulfilled. We'll look at what this means. Firstly, the time. What does that mean? There are two Greek words that are used, translated as time. The first one is chronos. Chronos is clock time. Time running along day after day. Clock time or calendar time. You know, we talk about chronological order. So that is a day after the next day. So this is clock time or calendar time. And then there's another word called kairos. Kairos is specific, predetermined season for a certain undertaking. Kairos. For example, harvest time. So this is a time for harvest. So it is not about the day, but it is about a certain season. Harvest time. A time for rejoicing. A time for mourning. So all these are, they are not chronos, they are kairos. And here the word used is kairos. Okay, we'll talk about it. And then the time is fulfilled. Fulfilled means completed. Reach is fullness. Or it is happening according to God's perfect timetable. Time is fulfilled. Use our modern day word, we said now is the time. Okay? So time is fulfilled means now is the time. And then in verse 14 it says, now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee. After John was arrested. Arrested, this is in a passive voice. Meaning that this is not something that John himself did, but it was done on John. John was arrested. So this talks about a higher force acting. John was a forerunner of Jesus. And after John was set aside off the stage, then Jesus came into the main stage. Now, this is just like Moses and Joshua. After Joshua died, God said to Joshua, my servant Moses is dead. Therefore, arise and go into the land. My servant Moses is dead. Now you therefore. Therefore, it's because of this. You see, this is a change of era. Moses' era is gone. Now is the time for Joshua. The same thing. John's time is past. And now is the time for Jesus. Now, Jesus did not compete with John. He waited for his time, waiting for John to step off the central stage, waited until John is passed. He was obedient to God's timing, God's will, and God's purpose. So he waited. The time is fulfilled. Means this is the appointed season. This is a special opportunity to act and to receive the grace of God, to receive the gospel of Christ. The time is fulfilled. Now is the time. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 7, says, again, he appoints a certain day, today, says to David so long afterwards in the words already quoted, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Today. It's not talking about another day, sometime later. Today, now. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Each time we refuse to listen or refuse to obey, we harden our hearts. Now is the time. And then secondly, repent and believe. Verse 15, and saying the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe in the gospel. This is the word of Jesus. Jesus said the time is fulfilled. We have looked at that. And then the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is not about domain or geography, but it is about the king and his rulership. So the kingdom of God is not about geography, it's not about domain. It is about the king and his kingship. The kingdom of God is at hand because the king is now present in their midst. The Jews were expecting the messianic kingdom, and Jesus has come as the promised Messiah. Therefore, he said, the kingdom is at hand. Now that Jesus is in our midst, how should we respond? And he said, repent. Repent and believe in the gospel. Now, what does the word repent mean? Repent is not just about feeling. Repent is not just about feeling sorry for our sin. Repent is an action word. Repent is a reversal of direction, a reversal of our attitude and behavior, a change in our point of view, how we look at things. See, repent is to about face. About face means you turn 180 degrees. From one direction to the opposite direction. Look at the arrow. Firstly, you are going away from God, and then you turn to the opposite direction, going towards God. That is repentance. Repentance is about face. Okay. I face this way, now I repent and I turn the opposite way. I was going away from God, now I repent, I turn, and I turn towards God. Let's look at this a little bit more. If we are facing away from God, pursuing our own path, no matter how hard we try and how fast we run, we cannot get any closer to God because the direction is wrong. If God is this way and I keep going this way, no matter how hard I try, no matter how fast I run, I'm not going to get closer to God because my direction is wrong. I'm facing this way. To believe God, we have to first reverse our direction, turning towards God And this is repentance. Without repentance, belief is hollow. We can say whatever we want about our belief. I believe this. But if there's no repentance, there's no change of direction, that is hollow. For example, if you are in London and wanting to go to New York, you must leave London. It is impossible to go to New York without leaving London. We are in London and you said, okay, I want to remain here, but I still want to go to New York. As long as you remain in London, there's no way you can reach New York. Okay. Meaning, we cannot try to keep our own ways and hoping to believe and obey God. I said, I want to believe God, I want to obey God, but I still want to keep my old ways. Then it won't happen. Just like I'm in London and I want to go to New York, but I love London, I remain in London. There's no way that I can ever reach New York. I remain in my own ways and I said I believe in God, I want to obey God. It will never happen. Then we need repentance. This is what repent means. In Romans chapter 2, verse 4, says, or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? See, repentance is a gift from God. Repentance is a gift from God. God enable us to repent. He gives us the enabling. But if we keep resisting, God asks us to repent and He gives us the power to repent. But if we keep resisting, then our heart is hardened and it will not repent after a while. Now, these two things, the time is fulfilled. Repent and believe. These two principles we'll look at, it will be played out in the lives of the disciples, the early disciples when Jesus called them. And it should also be played out in our lives as we learn to follow Jesus. Okay. Let's look at follow Jesus. Two things here, Jesus calling and follow Jesus. In verse 16, passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So in verse 16, he saw Simon and Andrew. They were casting a net into the sea. So they were fishing, casting the net into the sea. And then in verse 19, he went slightly further and he saw James and John, the sons of Zebedee. They were in their boats mending the nets. Now look at these two verbs. Casting a net into the sea and then in the boat mending the nets. They were fishermen. So casting and mending the nets are their daily routine of livelihood. This is what they do for a living. Every day they do this. Casting the nets and then pulling in, hopefully for a catch. And then when they are not casting out the nets, they are mending the nets so that they can cast it effectively later on. Casting and mending the nets are the realities of their lives or our lives. That's what we do. casting and mending. We do it to make a living. We do it to feed our family. We do it to pay our bills. Every day is the same. Everything is a routine. Is that how we look at our lives? Every day is the same. Everything is a routine. And Jesus came and he said, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." Jesus is calling them to a higher purpose, not continuing in the same old routine, but living life on a higher plane, on a higher level. That's what Jesus is calling them. Come, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. See, Jesus is not calling them to a different profession, but to use their professional skills and experience to live for God, to participate in God's redemptive purpose. So Jesus is not calling them to a different thing. They were fishermen. And Jesus said, "I will make you become fishers of men." He's calling them from fishermen to become fishers of men for God. They were fishermen. That's why God says fishers of men. But if they were builders or in construction, and then Jesus is calling them from builders to become builders of houses, to become builders of men for God. And if they are farmers, if we are farmers, Jesus is calling us from farmers to become growers of men for God. Sometimes we just hear fishers of men and we cannot identify because we are not fishers of men. We are not fishermen. But whatever your profession, God is calling you to a higher level, to a higher purpose. See, Jesus will transform our lives from routine of livelihood to a higher mission, living for God and experiencing his power and grace in us and through us daily, every day, in where we live and in where we work. So Jesus wants to transform our lives so that our lives need not be routine every day. We can see the power of God and the grace of God working in our lives. And then he said, "I will make you become fishers of men." Jesus said, "I will make you." So this is his part. Jesus has promised to make it happen. Becoming fishers of men is not by our own effort, by our own plan, but by his enabling. He makes us to become fishers of men. We cannot try to become. It won't happen. He makes us fishers of men. How? By following him. Follow Jesus. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me and I will make you become fishers of men." What does follow me means? Follow is not just keeping his teaching. Follow is not just imitating his example. Because this will often be reduced to an external form and losing its purpose and power. If we follow Jesus by just keeping his teaching or follow his example, soon our faith will be external, will be superficial. Over time, it will lose its power and lose its purpose. But what does follow Jesus mean? Follow Jesus is to come to Jesus. Come to Jesus to a vital, dynamic relationship. A vital relationship with the living Christ. Not superficial, but intimate and vibrant relationship. How is our relationship with Jesus? Let me give you an example. In Acts chapter 4, verse 13, Peter and John, they were arrested by the council, and they were before them. And then this is what happened. Now when they, meaning the council, they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus. John and Peter had been with Jesus. The council could see that they are different. I think this is what it is, following Jesus, to be with Jesus. Are we spending time with Jesus? Are we intimate with Him? Is our relationship with Him vibrant? Or is it just superficial and dry? And then thirdly, prompt obedience. Two things here: immediately, and left everything. Firstly, immediately. Verse 18. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. Immediately. Immediately means at once. No hesitation, no procrastination, no negotiation, no bargaining. Prompt action. See, they did not bargain, they did not negotiate, they did not hesitate. At once, they followed Jesus. Have you noticed that those things that we said, maybe later, those things never get done. The thing that I'm supposed to do now, I said, maybe later. Most of the time, it get forgotten, right? Most of the time, it gets forgotten. What we did not do at once will soon be forgotten and will soon be left undone. So that's why it's crucial. If we know that this is what God wants us to do, we do it straight away, do it at once. See, there are many things that we had wanted to do. This is still New Year. Some of us have our New Year resolution. But this is now the third week. Probably by now you have all forgotten the New Year resolution that we make, unless we had acted on it straight away. Some of us may have diet and exercise plan. But then, as long as you said maybe later, then it will never get done. Or Bible reading plan. Pastor asks us to start on our Bible reading plan. This is now, today is 21st day. Maybe some of us have started, maybe some of us have not. How many of us have started on the Bible reading plan? Good. About a quarter of us. Okay. About a quarter of us. Meaning there's three quarter of us have been saying maybe later. See, as long as you say maybe later, it will never come. It will never come. You know? So, this is still January. If we were to ask you again in June, maybe still three quarter. Unless you act today. Today, before you sleep tonight, make sure that you start on it. Today. At once. Otherwise, it will not happen. See, the key to success is to act right now. Whatever God has impressed you to do, do it at once. Others will envy you. You'll be glad that you did it. I'm 72. I'm still running. I'm still fit. A lot of people said, I envy you. I said, don't envy. You do it. I'm glad that I started at 58. Before that, I never run. I started at 58 and I started running. I'm glad I did it then. You see, there are two things that you said in life, especially when you get older a bit. You said these two things. You may say, I should have done it. See, this is a regret that we have for failing to take action when we could. When we come to the later part of your life, you had wanted something, but you never did. And you say, I should have done it. That is a regret that you cannot do anything about. When you reach 70, 80, you say, I want to exercise, but you wait until 70, 80, when your body no longer able to, or worse, if we are bedridden, at that time, even if you want, the time has passed. I should have done it earlier. Or another thing that you may say is, I'm so glad I did that. So this is the gratefulness that we have for having taken certain actions while we could. So either you can choose to say, I should have done it at that time when you may not ever have the chance again to do it. Or you may say, I'm so glad that I did it. It's our choice. Left everything. In verse 18, and immediately they left their nets and followed him. And then in verse 20, this is James and John, and immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. They left everything. So they left their nets and followed him. They left their father and in the boat and followed him. What does that mean? See, they left their nets. Their nets is their means of livelihood. They left that. They left their father, their business inheritance. So they left everything and they followed Jesus. Obviously, the value of following Christ is far greater than anything they are still holding on so dearly. So they saw the value of following Jesus. What is holding you back? What is holding us back? What is it that we cannot let go? That will bind us to where we are now, that we cannot progress. See, we must count the cost and see the value of each thing in the light of eternity. Our value may change. What we value at 10 years old, at 30, we may think that it's not valuable anymore. What we fought for at 10 years old, we won't fight for it at 30. What we fight for at 30 years old, when we reach 70, you may not fight for that. Our value will change. And the real value is what is valuable when we come face to face with Jesus. When we come closer to meeting Christ, that is the real value. And I think we need to reevaluate what we consider as important, what we consider as valuable. Follow Jesus. Time is fulfilled. Now is the time. Now is the opportunity that God has set for us. We need to repent and believe. Repent means about face. Turning 180 degrees from away from God to towards God. Without repentance, we will not see real belief and real obedience. Secondly, follow Jesus. Follow Jesus is to be with Jesus, is to come to Jesus, to establish, to build a vibrant, lively, real relationship with Jesus so that we can talk to Him, we can know His presence, we can know what He wants, and then prompt obedience. If God is telling you to do something today, don't wait until tomorrow. Because if we wait, then it will never get done. So prompt obedience. What is it that is still holding us down? That we are not willing. We need to reconsider, see its value in the light of eternity. Let's pray, shall we? Father, I pray that Holy Spirit will open our eyes, open our hearts, that we may respond to You, that we may see the joy and the blessing of following Jesus, so that when we come to the end of our life, when we come face to face with You, our Maker, that there will be no regret, there will be rejoicing. And we will say, I'm glad I followed You. And so, God, I pray that all this will be true in our lives as we seek to obey You day after day. Fill our hearts and fill our life with Your power and Your grace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.